Marshall Bibliographer at North Dakota State University in Fargo. It's November 9th, 1993, and I'm here in the home of Jake and Helen Loeb. Helen Loeb's father is Henry Hirsch, lives in Bismarck with his daughter and son-in-law. And Henry Hirsch was born in Krasna, Bessarabia. Good morning, Henry.
Good morning.
Henry, could you tell me when you were born? What was your birth date?
1898.
And what date?
15th of December.
So December 15th,
yeah.
1898, you were born.
Yeah.
And you were born in Krasna.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe Krasna was a Catholic colony?
Oh, yes, all of them. The whole family was there was no other religion in there.
And also in the whole village, there were
the
all
whole
Catholics.
Village, it was all Catholics.
But were the neighboring colonies, what religion were they?
I don't know. There was Unjikakum, but they were Lutherans. Brace were Lutherans. And Unjikak, I don't know, that was mixed with Jews and everything else.
Now let's go back to Krasna, first of all, and your family. What was the name of your father?
George, Yarsh. Yours.
York?
Yeah, Hirsch. George
Hirsch.
Yeah.
And do you know by chance when he was born?
No, I don't.
Your mother? What was her name?
Barbara.
Barbara, what was her family name?
Bachmeyer.
Barbara Bachmeyer, and then she became a Hirsch.
Yeah.
And how many children were in your family, brothers and sisters?
Six.
And their names?
Four girls and two boys. Margaret and Susan and Irene and Rose. And then Henry and John.
So there were two sons. And four girls.
Yeah.
And were they all born in Krasna?
They were all born in, no, Rose was born in Strasbourg, in Krasna Zelin. She's a baby in the family.
So when you were living in Krasna, how old were you before you left for the United
12
States?
12 years.
So you were there for up to 12 years old?
Yeah, yeah.
And how many came over then? Five of the six children came with your parents?
Five children. One was born here.
And what was the oldest one? How old was the oldest one when you came about?
Well, I don't know how old she was, but her name was Margaret. She married Chishma.
Mm-hmm. And let's go back to the Krasna village. Was your father a farmer?
Yeah, yeah.
And what did he raise, do you remember?
He raised wheat and stuff like that, corn.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, as far as fruit is concerned now, like apples, they had all kinds of apples and pears, and they had big vineyards and all that stuff. They had a lot of stuff like that.
You still remember some of that?
Oh, yes, yes, I remember some of that.
Were you close to water?
No, we weren't too close to water.
Uh-huh.
No.
What was the house where you lived in Krasna? How was it built?
It was built with stone, and one of them thatch roofs over it. Had a big ridge lock over it.
And the stone, how was it put together?
It was sawed like they have this, these tile and these brick, you know, what was sawed in big pieces, you know, and piled up just like you would build a tile house, you know.
And then how was the roof made?
The roof was made with thatch. They put some, that stuff, they cut out these lakes and stuff. I called it thatch. That was made with that. They had some twine and stuff and they sewed it on there.
And then how many rooms were in the house?
Two.
Two rooms?
Yeah, kitchen and the living room.
And so everybody slept in one room?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Was there a barn too?
Yeah, but the barn was off in the other corner.
Was the barn attached to the house?
No. Barn was sitting over there by itself, and there was a shed built to it called the shaft shed, spree.
And how many animals did they have?
Well, I don't know. He had a team of horses and cow or two and pigs and chickens and stuff like that. Little,
uh-huh.
Not much.
Was there a summer kitchen?
Yeah, well, the kitchen was a summer kitchen, yeah. It was for summer kitchen. You see, the oven was built into the living room, and you fired the oven from the kitchen. Bake great big loaves of bread in there, fire them up, you know, and then they put the dough and the bread in there and come out with great big loaves of bread just like cotton.
What about the fuel for that stove? What kind of fuel did they have?
Manure.
How did they find to do that?
Well, they made that themselves. They saved all their manure from their cows and horses, then they got soft and heated, and then they hauled it out in the backyard and spread it out and rolled it. Then they cut it in square pieces, about like that. And the thick is about that thick.
Did you have to do some of that work?
No, I was too young to do
that. Too young yet, yeah.
Yeah.
And so they, and then they went out and got cow chips too?
Oh yeah. Yeah, they went out and got cow chips. There wasn't any. But mostly they made their own, you know, out of their manure they saved from their own stock, you know.
And they had enough for the winter?
Oh yeah, yeah. And they seen to that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they seen to that.
A lot of butchering?
Not much. Not
too much butchering?
No, too much butchering. You know, they butchered a pig or so. That's about all it was. They were all what is called poor people. There's a few who were wealthy, but the mostly in that village were poor people. They didn't have much.
They didn't have much. You remember that?
Yeah, they didn't have much.
Uh-huh. So they went to the market to buy their things?
Yeah, they went to Angekrok, they called that. Was the town.
What was the name of the town?
Angekrok.
How far away was that from Krosno?
Oh, I would say about 10, 12 miles, something like that.
And they'd go there to the bazaar?
Yeah, they'd go there and buy clothing and everything. They had everything there.
So there was no bazaar in Krosno?
No, no, there was no bazaar at all.
Uh-huh. Did you ever remember going to the market, the bazaar?
Oh, yes, I remember going.
What was it like going to the bazaar?
Well, you've seen different things, you know, and so on. Different people.
Now, though,
Jews.
At the bazaar, they weren't all German people selling
items.
Oh,
no, there was gypsies, Jews, and you name it, all different classes of people.
And they all spoke a different language?
They all spoke a different language,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, you spoke only German.
We spoke German. We couldn't even speak Russian. None of us could speak Russian because we always talked German, and we didn't have no Russian teacher.
Uh-huh. As long as we're talking about a teacher, of course, when you were 6 years old, then you had to go to school.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You remember going to school?
Oh, yes, I remember going to school. Didn't learn a hell of a lot.
Why was that?
Oh, I don't know. That way.
You had to do some work at home?
Yeah.
Everybody had to do their chores?
Yeah, what there was to be done, they had to do it, yeah. We went to school. We had a German teacher and then we had a Russian teacher, but he didn't learn us. He tried to learn us how to count. Один, два, три, четыре, пять, шесть, something like that.
So what about you remember, of course, some of your classmates, you know, the kids that you went to school with. What were their names, you remember?
Well, it was Anton Kuss and Maximilian Riel. Riel is the name. Ambrosius Riel.
Uh-huh. Your neighbors, when you lived in Krosno, you remember the houses, your neighbors?
Oh, you betcha. Old Arnold, there was an alley coming from the market house through the village, you know. And Arnold lived right on the side of that alley there, and then was our next house. Arnold was, he was over here in America. Strasbourg supposed to have been built on his homestead. But his wife didn't like the way they had these cast iron stoves and stuff. She didn't know how to cook. So they went back to Russia.
What was his name?
Arnold.
The first name or last name was Arnold?
Our last name was Arnold.
What was his first name, remember?
I don't remember his name, but his name was Maximilian. He had a boy, and he was married to Adolf Riel's sister.
And he came over to Emmons County,
yes,
to Strasbourg,
yeah,
and then his wife didn't like...
She didn't like it, and so they went back to Russia.
And why didn't she like it?
Because she made her dough like she did in the old country, and she fired that old cast iron stove up and shoved it in there and left it that way. But you got to keep firing, see, on this old. And once you come home, why, the dough was all over the oven. There was no bread.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So she, you remember her coming back?
Oh, yes. You bet she was quite a lady. I was sick there. I must have been about 6 or 7 or 8 years old. I had the pneumonia awful bad, and their house was built on the line of our lot. Like, this is our, like, our lot here, and their house was built here. And I laid in the shade back there. She used to give me these chocolate candy, sort of a chocolate candy. She was a nice woman.
Mm-hmm. So you remember when she came back from
the United States? Oh, yes, you bet.
What did she say about the whole thing?
She didn't like it at all. Too wild.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder why it was too wild.
Well, this is open country, you know, like uh-huh. It used to be years ago, just a few settlers here and there.
Uh-huh.
And nobody hardly knew one another. See, there were mixed breed people. There were Swedes, Norwegians, Germans, and Irish, and all that.
Uh-huh.
The people that were so mixed in this country, see.
And she wasn't used to that.
She wasn't used to that. She knew was German.
And the language was only German, of course.
Yeah.
Who else were your neighbors, Henry?
Matt Sane. Sane was his name. Maximilian, he was our neighbor. Then there was a widow woman. Her husband was sick. He drank so much he kept shaking his head all the time. But I forgot her name. Then there was Henriels Maximilian.
What was his name?
Real, Maximilian.
Maximilian Real,
yeah.
Uh-huh. And this, how were this, the town village built, Krasna?
Well, it was built all in one line, see, like east and west, the way I understand. All in one line. Then there was little villages started building in the backs. But they were just small buildings.
And then where was the school located?
The school was located practically in the middle of the village and the church.
And the church?
Yeah, they were in the middle of the village, yeah.
And they were together, the school and the church?
Yeah, the church set catechetical on the lot, and the school was built along the sidewalk, like this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I remember all that.
Now, the church was quite a nice church?
A nice big church, yeah.
And they had a pastor there?
Oh, yes, all the time. I had nuns there.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yeah, they mm-hmm. had. You bet.
You remember going to church there then?
Oh, yes, you betcha.
You had your first communion there?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
And
did they do a lot of singing in church?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you bet.
You remember some of those songs?
Maximilian Wagner, he stood up for me when I got confirmed.
What was his name?
Maximilian Wagner, my dad's sister's, oldest sister's boy.
Uh-huh.
He stood up for me.
And your mother did a lot of cooking at
home.
Such a large family.
Yeah, she done all the cooking.
What, you remember what she used to make?
Oh, she used to make most everything. Kartoffel and knedle and stuff like that.
A lot of noodles?
A lot of noodles and stuff.
What about the meats? What kind of meat did they
have? Well, they had some pork, you know, the butcher, the pig or so, and that was cured, and of course, they just divided up for a certain length, too.
And so in the spring, of course, they would plant their garden.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nice big garden?
Oh, yes, they had a nice big garden. And by the garden, they had an orchard there where they had apples and pears and plums and all apricots, you name it. They had most anything there. Yeah.
And did they have some wine, too?
Oh, wine, Christ. They had wine running down the street some years.
Really?
Yes, they had so much wine.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of wine.
So you remember on the table when you'd eat, there was always wine there?
There was always wine there. I never saw coffee till I come to the United States. We drink a glass of wine with some little sugar in it and what butter and whatever we had, butter bread or a piece of meat or whatever we had with it. We never had coffee.
Never had coffee?
Never had coffee. Never got drunk and never got to be alcoholic either.
So you had, even as a child growing up, as a teenager, you had
Yes. Mm-hmm. I never got drunk.
Now,
I take my family here. I had 9 of them, and there ain't a one can say they ever saw me drunk.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Did you have some chores to do at the house?
No, not
too much.
No. The wife took care of all the chores. I took care of the outside stuff, like taking care of the milk cows and your team of horses and feed the pig and the chickens and stuff like that. I took care of the outside stuff.
No, I mean back in Krosno when you were a boy.
That's.
So you had to do those kind of things?
Yeah.
Milk the cows?
I didn't milk no cows. The mother and the girls done, the oldest girl didn't milk the cows.
So then each day, the farmers would go out into the field and come home each night.
Yeah.
So they didn't live out on the land?
No, they didn't live out on the land.
How far was it to go to the land?
Oh, quite a ways out. You see, they had the grazing around the village, and then there was the farmland. You see, if you had so much land, you were allowed to run so many head cattle or horse, whatever, for grazing. And your farmland was separate. That was a separate deal. Yeah.
So then for the grazing, all the cows and the horses were all the
all together? All one bunch. The herder would take them out in the morning and bring them back at night.
So they
the milk cows.
So the village had a herder?
Yeah, they had a herder.
And he'd gather them all up?
He'd take them out in the spring, in the morning, and bring them back in milking time.
Hmm. So it was one person responsible for that?
Well, it was a couple of persons. It was too big a herd for one person. Sometimes it was 2 or 3 people.
I wonder what their names were.
I don't know. That's beyond me. I never.
Uh-huh.
But I remember all that. Yeah.
You remember then when he'd come and get the...
Well, they had their time in the morning when they started out on one end of the village, see? Then they'd bring him up to the other end and out on the grass.
Every morning?
Every morning, and he'd bring him back at night to milk cows at milking time. And of course the horses, if they didn't need him, why they'd run out there till they'd call the herder, and then he'd bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
Bring the herd in.
So let's go back into the house when you were a kid. Did you have some playtime? Did you have...
No, it wasn't much playtime.
Wasn't too much playtime?
No. Work, need to work.
And go to
if
school.
You go to school if you had to work. There wasn't too much school.
So how many months of the year did you go to school then?
I don't remember. I don't remember, about 5, 6, something like that.
Uh-huh. So you were 12 years old when you came to the United States.
Yeah.
But how long did you go to school then, until you were 12?
Yeah.
And your brothers and sisters, they of course were older than you.
Yeah, the ones who were older, they went to school, and the ones who were younger, they didn't go to school.
When you were in school, did you have only Russian class or German classes? Did you
German
have Russian
classes,
too?
German
no
classes.
Russian.
And we had a Russian teacher too, yeah. We had a Russian class and we had German class, and then we had catechism too.
Had catechism too?
Yeah, we had catechism.
Was this like after school? Or
yeah, in school time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had catechism.
Mm-hmm. And this was all in German, of
all
course?
All in German.
So you learned to read and write German, of course?
Not too good.
Uh-huh. What about your dad? Did he have some brothers and sisters?
Yeah, he had a brother.
How many were in his family?
I don't know how many was in his family, because we left there when he got married, but they say he had a big family, 17 or 18 kids.
That, who was that
yeah,
now?
That was...
Your uncle?
John, that's my uncle, John Harsh. My dad's brother, you see, he was in that Russian-Japanese war. And when he come back, why, Dad made up his mind that he got married to a girl that lived there, next door neighbor. And his dad says there's no room for 3 families in one lot there. So Dad sold out and come to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So what he had.
Mm-hmm. And what about your mother? Did she have any brothers or sisters?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she had brothers and sisters. But the sisters was over the state over there, and a brother was here, old Watzlaw Bachmeyer. He lived out here by Raleigh. Mm-hmm. St. Gertrude's there.
So you left Krasna Bessarabia at the age of 12.
Yeah.
And that was, of course, in the early 1900s, came to North Dakota.
1912.
1912, you arrived in North Dakota.
Yeah.
Do you remember the days?
No, wait a minute. 1909, we arrived in North Dakota.
1909?
Yeah.
Yes, because you were born in
1898.
So do you remember those days when your folks decided to leave?
Oh, yes, you bet.
Well, what was their, how did they approach the family?
They didn't like it. They felt sorry, cried and all that stuff. They didn't like it, but Dad had to go, so.
Were there other families that went with you?
No, not out of the village.
At that time, you were the only one?
We were the only one.
Mm-hmm. And so you left, and then did you take the train?
Well, we had to go to Odessa. There was no train by the village there. Mm-hmm. There was no train through that country. But we had to go to Odessa. That's where we had to get on the train.
So you went on the wagon?
Yeah.
And had to leave?
Yeah. We went with the wagon to Odessa, and then we got on the train.
So when you left Krasna, there were five children.
Yeah.
And some young one, even a baby.
Yeah.
And you were 12 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you wondered, where in the world are we going to, huh?
Yeah, I know that. What never scared me, you see, when we got our, we were 16 days on the ocean. They didn't have them fast passenger steam like they have now. And we run into a bad storm. And the waves 4 or 5 feet high hit them. Ship and flashed over on the deck. I was scared to death, and I swore if I ever hit land again, I'd never go on water again. I'd stay on the ground.
You don't remember the name of the ship?
No, I don't remember the name of the ship.
Uh-huh. But when you got to Odessa, then you took the train.
Yeah.
But then where did you go with the train?
We went to Libau. That was a town next to the ocean. Someplace in Russia, they call it Libau.
Uh-huh.
From there we got on the ocean, on the ship.
Mm-hmm. And then you were on the ship how long?
About 16 days.
16 days you were on the ship?
Yeah.
And were there other German people on the ship?
Oh yeah, there was other German people on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
The people from all over on the ship, Jews.
So then you arrived where once you get to
New York.
New York.
Yeah.
And after you arrived in New York, what happened?
Well, they gave us shopping bags full of food, you know, and they put us on the train and we went. Strasbourg was the end of the line.
But did you ever go to Ellis Island first?
No.
You went right on the train?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now see, when we come in, what you call Ellis Island, that's the Statue of Liberty. That is out on the ocean. Yeah, we seen that. We passed that coming into New York.
Uh-huh. I wonder what your thoughts were when you all of a sudden saw this big city.
We couldn't think of nothing, you know. We're scared to death, that's all.
Mm-hmm. So then you took the train, and how long did that take?
That took about 2-3 days. Yeah, about 3 days to get to Strasbourg.
Did you stay overnight anywhere or just straight on?
No, we had changed train in St. Paul. We changed trains there, but we didn't stay overnight.
Mm-hmm.
We laid up there for a little while. I remember that. I went in the bathroom and I turned on the water. I never had the faucet turn on. Water comes so darn fast. I run out over the sink and a couple of niggers come in there and grab me, and I thought they were going to kill me.
So that was the first time you ever saw running water?
The first time I ever saw running water.
When you arrived at St. Paul at the train station?
Yeah.
So then you were at St. Paul and then you took another train?
Yeah.
And again, there were many German immigrants. Then where'd you head to?
Strasbourg.
Did you go via Eureka or just straight on to Strasbourg?
Well, we went via Eureka, straight on to Strasbourg.
And you ended up in Strasbourg?
Yeah.
After that, you got to the depot in Strasbourg, and who met you there?
Well, the mother had some relations there, and they met us there. And then we went out to their farm. We was out on their farm for a few days. And then Dad hired out to a fellow by the name of Bendick Wiesler, and he was pretty big operator. He bought another farm from a Hollander and had buildings on there, and then we moved in there and lived in there all summer.
What was his name?
Bendick Wiesler.
Bendick Wiesler?
Yeah.
And he lived which direction from Strasbourg?
He lived east, west of Strasbourg.
West of Strasbourg.
Yeah.
And so the family went out and stayed on the farm with him for a while?
No, we went out there. So we lived out there, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Dad worked for him and we stayed on that farm. It was empty. He bought it from some Hollander. And a barn, sheds on there, a nice little house, and we lived in that house all summer while Dad worked for it. And come fall, why, Dad bought some horses and a cow and a wagon. And I don't know what else, and headed west across the river.
So he didn't stay in Emmons County?
No, he didn't stay in Emmons County. He went across the river, and he spotted that piece of land there, a whole homestead. And then he went to Mandan and a homestead on it, and went back and had one of them one-lay plows, you know, with handles on, a wooden beam and a little wheel in front. Blout sod, about 3 feet long. And we cut them and then we lay them for the walls, and built a sod house, and we crawled in.
Uh-huh. So you, of course, helped build that sod house?
Oh, yes, I helped carry a lot of sod, you betcha.
And exactly how did they build that sod house again, Henry?
Well, they cut that sod, about 12 inches wide was the sod. Then they'd cut it about 2-3 feet long, see? And they'd lay it for a wall, see? All depending on how thick they want that wall, see?
Uh-huh.
And they built the wall that way.
Thick walls?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what did they do for the roof?
They had to go, you see, the main line was through McLaughlin and McIntosh in 1908. Then they had to go to McIntosh and get some rough lumber and a ridge log to put across there. They'd put those boards on there and some tar paper and some sod on top of that to hold it down so it wouldn't leak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what about the floor inside?
No floor at all. Just dirt. Summertime, the fleas would eat you up.
Was there, back in Grosna, was there a wooden floor?
No.
Just clay?
Just clay.
Mm-hmm.
No.
What about this sod house then? How did they heat this sod house?
We went down along the Kennebaugh River and picked up dry sticks, you know, whatever was fit to burn. And then we went out in the hills. We got that lignite coals out there. We got wains of 6 inches thick, foot thick, and some of 3 or 4 feet thick. Went out and dug that lignite coal with pick and shovel.
Mm-hmm.
And we kept warm that way.
Mm-hmm. So they didn't use cow manure then?
No, they didn't, not for heating.
Not for heating?
They used cow manure for cooking.
Oh, for cooking?
Yeah, but not for heating. Uh-huh. See, they take a hunk of that lignite coal and put it in that stove or two, you know, whatever the frame was, the firing frame, and it'll simmer along all night long. In the morning you still had fire there. They put a few sticks on there and heat the darn thing right up.
So they would keep warm that way, and of course they had thick walls. And
oh yes, they had thick walls, about 3 feet thick.
And so it kept it even cool in the summertime.
Oh yeah, it was cool in the summertime, all right.
So on the farmstead in here in North Dakota, this was in Grant County?
Yeah.
Did they also build a summer kitchen there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what was the summer kitchen used for?
For cooking in the summertime.
So it would stay cool in the house, yeah. So they have a stove,
yeah,
out there.
Yeah.
In a barn they built too?
Oh yeah, yeah, built a sod barn.
Oh, it was a sod barn?
Yeah.
Built like the house?
Built like the house.
And then they had how many cows and so forth?
Well, that all depends. Some had two or three, some had four or five, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have too big herds to start out with.
What was the closest town to you?
The closest town, well, Shields come, the Milwaukee out of McLaughlin, the Milwaukee branch up to New England, was built up to New England there in 1912.
Mm-hmm.
That was our closest town. Shields was a nice little town at one time.
And your folks, when your mother would think about back in the old country,
yeah,
did she talk much about the old country here?
Yes, yes. I see her. She used to walk down to the creek crying, and wishing she had the barn that they had in the old country here to live instead of the old side house.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't an easy life for them when they
came? No. It was a rough life. A rough life.
Uh-huh.
A rough life for all of us.
What about Henry? Did they have any time for any little entertainment, little dancing and singing?
Not much, not much. Very little. Till they got a little older, you know, after they lived there 8-10 years, then things changed a little bit, you know. People had a little more to live on, and they had a little more fun and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first started out, it was dead as it could be.
Of course, you can remember all that, because you were getting older then, too.
Yes, yes. Well, I couldn't talk a word English, but I got connected with an old Englishman, and he was married to a squaw, Indian woman.
Uh-huh.
And he was a good man.
What was his name?
Tom Twiggs. Tom Twiggs.
And he lived down by Shields?
He lived down in Grank, the place that I got now. He lived on that place.
I see. You got to know him, and of course you
I worked a lot for him after I grew up, you know. I used to chop wood for him for the winter and stuff like that. And in the summertime, I used to ride on his horses. He had quite a few horses and cattle. I used to work for him a lot. And he gave me a lot of good advice.
Did he speak English to you?
Oh, yeah. He couldn't speak anything else but English.
And how did you respond? You could only speak German.
Well, I respond. I learned fast.
Uh-huh.
I learned fast.
So you learned just on your own?
You betcha. You betcha.
Uh-huh.
Well, I had no teacher.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I didn't go to school at all here in this country.
Did your folks ever learn to speak English?
Oh, yeah. They speak, but not too good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they speak English. Yeah, they learned too.
So you worked for this man until you were how old?
Until I was old enough to get married, I guess.
What year was that?
In 1921.
And you were how old then?
21 years old.
21 years old, and
yeah.
you were working for this man at that time yet?
At times, yeah. I worked for him. The last time I worked for him, he had some hay put up way down south for his cattle, and he wanted me to haul that hay in. But he says, Henry, I'm broke. I got no money. What are we going to do about that? I says, I don't know. Well, he says, I'll go ahead and talk to your folks about it. I was painting a grain box, you know, it was just after trashing. I was painting the grain box and was going to put it away for another year. And he rode in there and tapped me on the back and told me what he wanted. So he says, I'll go ahead and talk to your folks about it. So he went in. Hope says, all right, if Henry wants to work for you. So he says, you work for me 2 months hauling that hay in, and you can go out in the herd, in the horse herd, and pick out your herd. He had pretty close to 100 head of horses.
Oh.
Well, hell, if you worked in the wintertime, you only got $15 or $10 a month and $15 in the summertime. And, of course, horses weren't too high a price, but a good horse was worth about $50, $60. So I went out and picked myself a good horse.
Mm-hmm. And then you did what after that?
I went home, and that year I Yeah, that next year, that was in the old year, 1920. And then 21, I 30th of January, I got married.
And who did you marry?
A Klein, Brigitte Klein.
Brigitte Klein?
Yeah.
And what were her, who were her parents?
They were, and so I lived in Strasbourg there. They come from Ivernister. They weren't from Krasny. They were from Ivernister. They called them the Lichaka.
What did they call them?
Lichaka.
Did they speak a little different German?
Yeah, they spoke a little different German.
And they grew up, they lived in Strasbourg?
Yeah, they lived in Strasbourg.
How did you meet your wife?
Oh, I just went over there and met her, and we got acquainted and got married.
And how long was the courtship?
Didn't take long. Didn't take long, a couple of 2-3 weeks.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you decided that it's time now to get married and raise
yeah,
a family?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then I got married and we lived with our folks that summer. Then I rented a farm from the Milwaukee Railroad Company, the branch line that come out of McLaughlin. And I farmed for them. I had 3/4 of land. I farmed for about 8 years for them.
For who?
For the Milwaukee Railroad Company.
So they had different farms?
Yeah, they had farms out there.
Oh.
Around Shields.
Uh-huh.
Then I had about 50 head of cattle and a little money in the bank, and I wanted to spread out. I wanted to get bigger. I wanted to be a bigger rancher like all these big ranchers around. Told the old hunter, I says, you got to give me more land. Oh, I can't give you any more land. I got a lot of Fred Herzog, he owes me so much money. I says, I can't help that. If I can't get no more land, I'm quitting you. Oh, don't you make a bad mistake. Anyhow, I had about 20 acres of corn. I was picking corn. This is in the fall of the year. Here come this Bill Ordway and Andrew Tutland. Bill Ordway was the son-in-law of a banker out of Mandan here. And he says, I heard you're looking for a place. Yeah, well, I got this place, Twig's place down here. Crush can't make the payments, and I'll have to take him off and put him over there in the Porcupine Hills, and I'll sell you that place. All right, so what do you want for it? $3,500 for the half section. That's kind of steep, it was at the time. But it was right on the river, you know, the running water there. So I took him up. In 3 years, I paid for the damn place and had 100 head of cows.
Is that right? You worked hard.
Oh, you're there right. I had to. I learned how to work hard on those ranches.
Mm-hmm. And of course, a lot of this was from back home.
Sure. Sure, but I learned a lot of that from those old timers, the way they had those herd of cattle and horses, and not a paying a cent of taxes or for grazing. Everything was grazing was free, range free. See, There was no range limit. And hell, I thought that was easy picking, you know, and everything for nothing but you work for. So, of course, it didn't stay that way long. Finally, got the tax in there. That's.
Mm-hmm.
The divided the country up in different counties, you know.
So like when you came, there were no counties yet?
No, there were no counties yet. No.
Mm-hmm. And that was a big change.
That was a big change.
What was your attitude towards that?
Well, didn't like it, but hey, I had to take it. That was the law.
Uh-huh. Now, you lived in Grand County and then, of course, in Sioux County.
Well, after I quit that Milwaukee Railroad, farming, then I bought that place in Sioux County.
That was in Sioux County.
But before that, I always lived in Grand County.
Now, in Sioux County, of course, in Grand County, too, somewhat, but especially in Sioux, there were quite a few Indians.
Oh, yeah. They're all Indians.
Now, how did the German-Russians get along with the Native Americans?
Well, they got along. I got along good with them. Best friends I ever had.
Uh-huh.
Depends on how you treated them.
And they spoke English, of course?
Oh, yes, you betcha. Had the Indian agents there in 36, you know, everything went dry, and I had about 49 head of cows, and no grass, and the Indian agency had dug out a spring there on some Indian land that hadn't been used, and there was old grass around there. And I was moving my cattle around, for I had a little grass for them. Here comes this Indian agent. He says, Henry, of course he knew me well, with Joe Murphy. Grew up in that neighborhood. His father was an Irishman married to an Indian woman. And he says, take them cows down there to that tank and let them eat that old grass and drink out of that tank, fresh water. I says, I ain't got no lease on it. I can't. Oh, I give you a permission. Go ahead. So I took them down there and I kept them there till Christmas time, grazing there. Got along good. I never had no trouble with the Indians.
Did the Indians, were they farmers too?
Some of them were good men, and some of them were just like any others, you know, not worth a darn. Mm-hmm. Some of those young Indian boys, they made good, like Fat McLaughlin and them, they got big, and they were right up there. They had hurt, heck, he must have had 400 or 500 head of cattle connected with big cattle companies. Mm-hmm. And they had the education, you know, they done good, but some of them just nothing but booze and booze and booze.
Mm-hmm. So when you got to this country and so forth, there was no church yet?
No, nothing.
No church, huh?
No. You see, we built that church that's in Shields now. So we built that out west there in the country from our place west about 3 or 4 miles. There was Dirks living beyond the other side of that church, and Wagner's, and we all went together and built that little church. There's a graveyard still out there. And of course, later on, well, they want to move to town, and everybody moved to Shields. Shields was a nice little town. So they moved it in there, and then Bishop closed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we built that church.
What about
all the old people themselves? Nobody, they didn't have no help from anybody else.
I forgot to ask you, Henry, when you got married, did you have a kind of a nice wedding party?
Oh, yes, we had a nice wedding party.
You got married where?
In Linton.
You got married in Linton?
Yeah.
How was the wedding celebrated?
Good. Out on the farm.
Just one day, or how long was the wedding?
Well, just one day, but it was a nice wedding.
Uh-huh. Have a wedding dance?
Oh, yeah, you betcha.
And who played for the
accordion?
Do you remember who played?
I don't remember. Singer. Singer, I think, was his name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you remember some of the other bands that used to play?
Well, not many. I didn't have time. I had to work all the time. I didn't pay.
You didn't get to too many dances?
No, no.
Later on, either?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, well, there was different young guys played. There was Anton Wolk and some of the others played accordions, and just little parties.
You never went to any dances when Lawrence Welk would come over?
No, I never went to Lawrence Welk's dance.
Uh-huh.
Never. I never even seen Lawrence Welk on the old TV.
Uh-huh.
I know where he lived. He lived southeast of Strasburg there on the farm, and I've been told his father was a sort of a little musician. He could play the accordion, and that Lawrence went on from there.
Mm-hmm.
I never even seen Lawrence or talked to him.
Mm-hmm. What about back on the farm when you were growing up, and then of course you got married and had how many children again?
Nine.
Nine children?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you had a big family too?
Yeah.
And they went to the farm school?
Well, I had a school on my own land. I had the school district bought a house and set it there. And they hired a teacher and had school there for the kids on my own property.
Did the children speak English when they
Yes, yeah, when they grew up.
You could already, they were already speaking English?
Sure.
Or only German?
They had an English teacher, you know, and they had to speak English.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they can't speak nothing else but English. They forgot their German language. Take Helen here, she can't talk German. Die kann nicht Deutsch sprechen. Now, like me, I ain't forgot nothing.
Wonderful. Now, when you, later on in life, Henry and so forth, when, you know, these old Bessarabian Germans would get together, and of course your folks and so forth, what did they do for it? Did they play a lot of cards?
Yes, they played cards. And they had little parties and drinking wine and play cards.
Did they celebrate names days?
Oh, yes.
That was pretty big, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, they celebrated them.
How was it celebrated?
Oh, they had little drinks and food and all different kinds of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a musician had a little dance and stuff like that.
Any barn dances?
Yeah, yeah, there was barn dances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about Christmas? Do you remember how Christmas was celebrated?
Well, Christmas, we used to, when we first come out here, there was Indian village on the, in the Sioux County side, a big log house there. And the Indian kids and us, we went there for Christmas scenes. Santa Claus would come there and distribute little things for the kids and stuff like that.
So you were all together, even with the Indian children?
Indian children. Had a nice big Christmas tree, and then, of course, priest was there. In the morning, we had church, and then we went home.
Was Christmas celebrated back in Krosna?
Oh, yes, always. Always had a big celebration.
How was that celebrated?
Having fun.
Uh-huh. Was there a Santa Claus?
Oh, no, there was no Santa Claus. They had a woman they called the Christkindje.
Oh, how was that pronounced?
Christkindje.
And what was her, what did she have to do?
Well, she was just a young girl, you know, they dressed her up with a white cloth and she was the Christkindje.
Uh-huh.
She'd come in there and throw candy or peanuts and you pick them up. She hit you with the switch and she said you were bad or good. Yeah.
Was there a Bilsenigel too?
Yeah, there was a Bilsenigel.
Uh-huh. What was he? What did he do?
Well, if you didn't behave, he'd take you out and chain you up.
Oh, did that ever happen to anybody?
No, not to me. Not to me. I was too smart for that already, because I know there was no Bilsenigel, and I know there was no Christkindje. I know that was a girl. That's all I knew.
But the little ones didn't know that.
The little ones didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you bet.
What about Easter? How was that celebrated?
That's not the same way. They made their Easter nests and laid colored eggs in there.
Was that outside or inside?
Outside.
Outside
or inside, wherever you felt. And Easter Bunny would lay the eggs.
And what your family, I'm assuming, was quite religious.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there were prayers?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you bet.
And then you'd go to, for Christmas, you'd go to Midnight Mass?
Oh, yeah, you bet.
Uh-huh.
Never, you never missed that.
What about your mother? Did she do a lot of canning?
Well, whatever there was, she done quite a few canning stuff. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like it is now. They got a lot more stuff to can, a lot more ways to do it.
So when you grew up, there was, of course, no electricity.
No.
And no running water?
No running water. You had to get the water out of the well, dipped up with a pail.
Mm-hmm. And then they'd bring it into the house and heat it. And then if you wanted to take a bath, that was once a week?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You took your drinking water, had a couple of pails for drinking water, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And for cooking and stuff like that.
What about for light? How did they do that?
They had these kerosene lamps.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen them.
Yes.
And for the outside, they had these lanterns for the barn.
So you, of course, remember the first days when electricity came on the farm.
Oh, you bet.
Well, that must have been something different.
That was a lot different.